This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 133 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, January 10th, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by my two partners in crime, contributing writers on the WordPress Tavern website, Sarah Gooding from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Marcus Couch, the voice known as Plugin Master. I'll give you that title.
Okay, I'll take it.
How's it going, Marcus?
Good, really good. Happy New Year to you. This is the first time I've talked to you in 2014.
Yes, well, Sarah, happy first episode of 2014. We had an extended holiday break, very much needed. My specific holiday break wasn't the greatest. I lost my grandmother during the Christmas holiday, so that sucked. And, you know, it's always a pain when you – it's not so much of a pain, but it's disappointing when you lose a relative during one of those holidays, because from that point on, every time that holiday comes around, it just kind of sucks a little more than usual. So, you know, the good news is she wasn't in any pain. She passed on peacefully, so she's in a better place now. So that's pretty much how I spent my Christmas holiday. And for anyone out there, I live in the Cleveland area, and if you happen to stop by the Metro Health Hospital there, stay away from the cafeteria food. it was no good. It was actually, stuff was better in the vending machines. Anywho, Sarah, how was your holiday? How many ugly sweater Christmas parties did you attend?
I just hosted one, and it was a huge success. It lasted until like 4 in the morning. People loved it.
Wow. I mean, must have downed a lot of eggnog during that party.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Marcus, how was your holiday over there on the West Coast? What'd you end up doing?
I went to only one party, which was a company party for a thing I'm involved in called BiteSizeTV.com, and the party was at the corner of Hollywood and Vine in the W Hotel, and it was amazing. So I had a great time and spent some good time with the family. We celebrated together by going to see Megadeth Front Row here in Anaheim. And otherwise, it was fantastic. You know,
I love Megadeth.
Weather on Christmas, and it was a good time had by all.
So just really quickly, since it's the new year and all, I want to go around the horn here and ask you, ask both of you what your New Year's resolutions are, if you participate in that. My New Year's resolution for this year is to read one book a month. So that'd be 12 books, and I want to try and get back into reading. And I went to Half Price Books, which is a great place to get reused and recycled books for half price, and ended up with about 8 books based on suggestions that the people on my Twitter followers gave me, and I already finished my first book within like the first 2 weeks of 2014. So I forgot how great it is reading the book, especially science fiction. So I'm well on my way to accomplishing my resolution. Sarah, do you participate in New Year's resolutions? If so, what's yours?
Yeah, I am going to probably do a few. Mine also relates to reading, because everything I read lately is about WordPress, because I'm trying to keep up with the news. So, you know, but it's good to expand your reading into other areas and to help you be more well-rounded and have a better perspective. So I'm going to try to read more different things other than WordPress. And I'm going to get organized with 30 days of organization. And I'm going to just do a little tiny thing every day, like, you know, clean out this closet or this drawer or that kind of thing. And that's it so far.
It's not, take it one drawer at a time, one space at a time, and eventually everything will be all cleaned up, hopefully.
Yep.
That's the way it's supposed to work. How about you, Marcus? You got any New Year's resolutions for this year?
Yes, 300 pieces of content in 2014. That's what I need to make. And I've got about 150 of them already mapped out as far as what they're going to be editorial calendar-wise, and I got a lot of cool things.
300 pieces of content? What are you doing? You already scheduled and wrote a bunch of content out for 1 year?
Topics. You know, there are some things even on the Tavern that I've got in an Excel spreadsheet that I'd like to talk about and get a little further on. Some of these things are just a little bit different than just being the plugin critic that I typically am. I'd like to get more in depth as to you know, how WordPress can become careers for some people, and how, you know, some of the lighter side, the good news type of stories out there. Those are the things I'd like to focus on, more community type stuff, or not focus on instead of, but, you know, in addition to what I already make. So, yeah, content's going to be a huge thing for me in 2014.
So you're going to contribute to the total number of drafts we have in WP Tavern right now, which is over 20.
Yeah, I need to have you delete three of those. Since I don't have access to, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I'd love to do a little series on what it's like to try and blog from just an app perspective in WordPress. It's a lot harder than you think as far as using the WordPress app. So a lot of content ideas, a lot of podcasting stuff. I love doing industry night and all the rest of it. So a lot more hopefully to come.
Yeah, best of luck to you for accomplishing those resolutions. We want to get everybody caught up with the headlines this week. It's been a while since we've talked to WordPress. And the first story we want to talk about is a new story engine plugin / service that was released a few days ago. It's called AESOP, A-E-S-O-P. And Sarah, you wrote a piece about this new storytelling engine. Kind of give us your take on it and what it's about.
Well, this is a really cool new plugin that people can use to make their blog posts more story style. So, like adding bigger images, backgrounds on a per post basis, as well as putting in multimedia like videos and that kind of thing to tell a story using your WordPress blog. And a lot of news publications online have been going this way lately to use storytelling to communicate the news. So I think this is a really valuable tool for the publishing industry at large.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this a few episodes back where I mentioned a story on the New York Times or the Washington Post where a gentleman wrote a story, and it was about a road in Russia. And over on the left-hand side in the sidebar, that was like this road or this street. And as you scroll down the post, and as you saw different images and stuff, you could see on the left-hand side where those images and where that part of the story was taking place. I thought it was really cool, and I always thought to myself, you know, I haven't seen that type of storytelling in on different WordPress-powered websites, so I didn't know if it was because it's issues with themes or how many different plugins you need to use or APIs or services to tie that all in, but it's one of the things that excites me most about this AESOP is that now that type of storytelling ability is opened up to the masses with this open source plugin called AESOP. And, you know, it has over 12 different types of storytelling components, such as quotes and timelines, or setting up characters with avatars and tiles. And I just think it's awesome. It's really exciting to see this type of storytelling come to the masses of WordPress, and in my opinion, I think there's so many great storytellers on WordPress.com that it would be awesome if somehow something like this was added to their suite of services. But I also know that AESOP, Nick Haskins, who is the guy behind AESOP, has a hosted service where people can share stories, put stories together, and also meet with other people, part of the AESOP storytelling network. So maybe adding it to WordPress.com wouldn't be such a good idea, you know, in his case, but just the whole idea of what the story engine provides, and hoping to see WordPress users in the future really take advantage of this. And I'm also looking forward to seeing what type of themes are created that really harness the power of this story engine.
I think not only that, but as somebody like me, when you introduce something like a character into the whole scheme of things, because I love using WordPress to create all my content, that makes it a little easier for me to try and maybe venture into something that's nonfiction or fiction, rather, that I wouldn't otherwise, just because this is a platform that now makes that kind of thing easier for me. So it's interesting to see. Maybe there'll be a lot more literary works that people can kind of step out of their comfort zone because of the technical capabilities of what this can do.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this the other day. Do you think I'm kind of stretching things if I say that this is like post formats but on steroids? I know post formats is assigning one type of post or one type of structured content to a post in the story engine, you're able to do multiple types of elements to create the story, even using the same elements over and over again. So maybe it's a stretch to say it's post formats on steroids, but that's the first kind of similarity I thought of when I saw this. But we'll have to see what happens in the future. And I hope to get Nick Haskins on the show in the near future to really go in depth with the storytelling engine. He actually wrote in his post, you know, if there's any interest, there's interest out there, let me tell you. So the next thing we want to talk about is that the Matt Medeiros of MattReport.com, he launched a new WordPress resource called WPMentor.org. And what he initially did is he wrote a post on his website on MattReport.com talking about how to become a mentor, and so many people published comments on wanting to share their knowledge and help other people out that he actually created an entire site for those people to go to share their knowledge. So it's like a job board. So when you go there, you can apply, you can create a job or create a listing as either a mentor or a mentee. So if you're a mentor, you would list the type of things that you're highly skilled in that you could share with others. And as a mentee, you can create a posting that kind of requests the type of knowledge or help or guidance that you're looking for. And so far, there's a lot of different job post listings on there, and it's working out pretty well for him in the community so far.
Yeah, you saw my post on there, correct?
I knew you were going to write a post on there, but I
Oh, no, I you retweeted my post. Don't even tell me. No, I wrote as a mentor offering that my basic title on that site was, I'll tell you why your plugin sucks.
Yes, okay. That one.
And that was just basically anybody who wanted just to get a raw critique of a plugin before it went live in the repository, I would kind of mentor them on what steps they might want to look at as far as the UI and overall performance and things. And I just did it as a favor to Matt to kind of pull that first tab off the flyer, so to speak, and get people active. And it got your attention, and it got you guys to write about it.
So how many people have applied for the position so far?
To be the sucky, so to speak, the person that I tell sucks. Six so far, and
wow.
I haven't told anybody that anything sucks yet because it's.
And this is a free service you're offering.
Yeah, I'm afraid to say this because of the jokes that are coming around, but. Yes, I'm happy to take a look at anybody's, you know, work in a 5-minute span and let them know if I like it or not. That's what I do every day with plugins. So hopefully it works out for Matt as far as you know, actual mentors and things. I think mine was a little bit more tongue in cheek than anything, but
I actually
that's a great project.
I decided to become a mentor. And I don't have much to offer when it comes to coding or anything of that nature, but with the experience I have working and dealing with the WordPress community, I thought that I would be able to help those that are brand new to the world of WordPress or are starting to develop plugins or create a business in the world of WordPress, and they want to know how to be on the good side of the WordPress community, such as capitalizing the P in WordPress, not using the WordPress trademark when they set up a domain, all that kind of general stuff that a lot of people coming into the community or those who are not ingrained in it, they don't know any of that stuff. And I actually received 3 or 4 applications, and I've 2 of them I'm actually going to mentor. They're brand new, looking for people to make connections with and to increase their notoriety within the community. So I'm going to try and help guide the way for them. So so far, everything's working out really well. So if you're interested in being a mentor for someone, or if you're a mentee looking for a mentor to lean on or get advice from, head over to WPMentor.org and create your posting. It's free. See where it goes. The next thing we want to talk about is WordPress Core Track, which is the area where all tickets and bug reports for WordPress are handled, has gotten a redesign. There's a lot of new features and enhancements that are taking part over there on Track. Sarah, you kind of gave published a post that highlighted most of these changes. Anything that comes out at you that just screams, you know, finally, or it's about time?
No, I mean, I just always appreciate whatever was there, but now it's a lot more useful for people who are using it on a regular basis. And Nason just yesterday, I think, added the per-ticket notifications to track. So that is really cool. People can sign up and get updates on the tickets that they're interested in. You can also mention somebody, and they'll get the updates too, so you can collaborate better on your work. And just there's a whole list of things that he's put on there that's just really awesome, and I think is going to make WordPress core development a lot more efficient for everybody.
Yeah, probably my favorite feature is that there's a new keyword that's been added, and these keywords are used such as has patch or needs to be reviewed. You know, it's an easier way to group tickets together and to compile reports. But there's a new keyword that's been added called good first bug. And what this does is it helps identify tickets that are good starting points for new contributors. So that's really cool. So now they've actually are labeling tickets as good first bugs, and anybody who wants to kind of try and create their first contribution to WordPress or get a grips with how Track works, those bugs will be easy to organize and sort through on the Track page, and just something that's really cool.
And it's way cool because there are no other platforms on Earth that I know of that have anything like this. So this is just another strong testament to the strength of our community and the organization that's behind it. It's based on how the most trivial support happens, and this is one episode where you could see that it's going in a positive direction. It's going somewhere where we all need it to be.
Yeah, Andrew Nason laid down the law on Track, and he continues to do enhancements and fixes across Track. He was sick during most of the time the past 2 weeks over the holidays, and he was saying, he commented to us that he thinks that it made him focus on doing all these enhancements to Track, and there's a lot of kind of jokes out there saying maybe he should get sick more often.
Yeah, maybe he hallucinated the solution. Who knows?
Yeah. So a big-time launch happened earlier this week. We've mentioned this on previous episodes, but now it's actually out there in the wild. It's AppPressor. And they launched their first mobile app development framework for WordPress. And Sarah, what do you think of AppPressor since they've launched?
I think it's pretty cool. I mean, previously, back in the day, you had to know a whole bunch of code for the various platforms if you're going to develop mobile apps. And now, if you know how to use WordPress, you can create a native app within the WordPress dashboard that you're already familiar with. So it's kind of a turning point, I think, for putting mobile app creation into the hands of regular people and not just, people who know how to code.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of what AppPress provides is, with limited ability to code or anything else, you could easily turn something that has no native app, boom, right into native app for either Android or iOS. Both ones are supported. And I also see that there's something called PhoneGap, and there's a PhoneGap API. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, I think that is what they've used as the basis for their plugin. They use that to help people create the app just using, I think it uses HTML.
Yeah, okay.
And stuff. But I'm not really exactly sure because I haven't explored PhoneGap too much. I just know that they reference it on their plugin page.
And some of it has extra fees associated with that aren't included, but I'm, for one, after I read this on the Tavern, I'm scraping the carpet to try and find quarters to scrape $500 together to get this thing. It looks amazing, and it's something that I never wanted to learn Objective-C to be able to have to make these apps.
Right.
That I've got so many great ideas for, and now that we can do this in WordPress, it's just another solution that WordPress has solved for people. The reason I got into WordPress in the first place was because I didn't have to hand code an RSS feed anymore when I put out a podcast. And so that's why I started using it. So now you're going to be getting a whole generation of people that are interested in app development that are going to see this, that, oh, I don't need to learn all these programming languages. I can use this thing, WordPress. And we're going to get a slew of people just based on this capacity and this capability.
So a couple of questions just throw out to you. I mean, Sarah, we cover the gamut of WordPress information, themes, plugins, but it seems like you and I, at some point in the future, are going to start doing reviews of apps probably created with AppPressor. We're going to have to create a whole new category of where we review WordPress apps.
Yeah, that might be fun. I know a lot of people who make websites for clients are excited about this so that they can use it to, you know, sell that as a service to their clients and have a way to, instead of saying, oh, no, I can't do apps, and sending the work to somebody else, they're able to take that work and do something with it. So I think there are going to be a lot more apps on the scene.
Yeah, especially if they can make it inclusive within the theme design and things that they're already doing. Mm-hmm. So everything can have sort of this symmetry that all works together. Not only is the site, you know, the way it is and responsive, but there are, you know, additional enhanced apps out there that have secondary content and features that, you know, perhaps you wouldn't want to put on a site because maybe these aren't things, these are duplicate content things that you wouldn't want indexed on your site, but it, as an app, who cares? So Maybe you want it to run a news stream or something that's related to a particular industry of your client or things like that. So all of this is possible with AppPressor.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think WordCamp San Francisco is scheduled for October this year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But I know usually before the event, Matt sends out a big survey to everybody, and he shares the results of that survey to those in attendance during a State of the Word presentation at WordCamp San Francisco. And usually one of those questions is, how are you using WordPress? And one of the questions last year was, as an application framework, and it was maybe, I don't know, 3% or some very low percentage. And I think with AppPressor, that number is going to be a lot higher this year.
Maybe so. It might take a year until the full adoption rate comes around. You're going to have to see some, it's not just the fact that we've got this app construction kit. You're going to have to see some fabulous apps being created. Yeah. And people that love the app and don't even know that it's WordPress. Once you break that threshold, then you got a winner.
Agreed. So let's see. People can help shape BuddyPress development in 2014. BuddyPress is about to enter development for the 2.0 release, and the core team is seeking input from the community on what to prioritize for 2014 development. Sarah, is there going to be another type of survey that people are going to fill out for 2014?
Yep, the survey's out already, and people are taking it. I'm not sure how long they're going to leave it out there. But we'll find out the results pretty soon, and we'll definitely post an analysis of that on the Tavern. But it should be pretty exciting because the BuddyPress core developers are open to listening to what the community has to say about what's important for them when they use BuddyPress. So that should help prioritize the development for the coming year.
And just a quick shout out to Triple J. We noticed on Twitter that he has apparently broken some bones. And that probably does not feel good. So just a quick shout out to Triple J. Hope you feel better soon. And take it easy, will ya? We need you in this community. And let's see. Now, just to kind of head back on the previous topic a little bit, Fickle Mike in the chat room says, he asks, are there any reported issues with AppPressor apps not meeting the App Store requirements? Have you? I have not personally seen any mention of that on Twitter or anywhere else. Have you?
I haven't.
Okay.
No, that's what I mean. You're gonna. Yeah, it's too soon to tell if this is gonna be a winner like that, because this is gonna. It still takes sometimes 30 days to get through the app cycle.
Okay. You know, and this just launched, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Let's see. One of the last stories that we wanted to talk about here before we get into some plugin picks, because Marcus, you are the plugin guru. You did a podcast that you try and do every week on Tuesday night called Industry Night. Mm-hmm. And this previous week you had your special guest was David Kramer, who does the My Short Codes plugin in the Caldera engine. Tell us a little bit about what you guys talked about on the show earlier this week.
Well, David is from South Africa, which is, you know, pretty cool in itself that we can make it sound like we're sitting at the same table, yet he's thousands and thousands of miles away. The plugin that he's created allows you, it's my short code, just sort of the light version of it, and it basically gives you a way to kind of create your own short code, but you can do it with CSS, you can do it with PHP callouts, there's a tab for HTML, And the nice thing is within the tab of HTML, you can actually put other short codes in that or sequences of short codes that do things and then create kind of one custom short code. And then when you create your content, you put the one short code in and it does the entire sequence. Now, normally we can't do a short code within a short code, right? The difference with this is this short code thing kind of renders it as a page first before it displays the content, then it displays the results within. So it's an amazing plugin.
Sounds like something a short code junkie will love.
Oh, geez. I mean, it does things that you wouldn't think would be possible. So then it also runs on different things like elements. So you can put in, okay, if the post type equals this, then render this on the sidebar, render this in the content area, do this. So it's an amazing type of, you know, as it says, engine, but his Caldera engine not only does all of those things, but if you want to export whatever that script is or that short code thing is that you just made into another plugin, you can do it.
Man, this seems like it's highly flexible and extensible.
Yeah, so it's like if you grabbed a great sequence of content out there that you could turn into your short code thing and then go, hey, I'd love to export this into a plugin. Boom, one click, it's done. And you could put it into the repository, everything would work. It's amazing. So my conversation with him just basically described his essential need for it, which he designed the entire plugin and the entire sequence around it based on the fact that he's a programmer and, you know, self-described as lazy and didn't want to do the same setup every single time over and over and over and over. So he just, the necessity of it made him design a plugin.
Yeah, you actually considered it a plugin construction kit.
Right, right. That's exactly what this plugin does. Yeah.
So for those who want to take a listen to that, it's you can find it on, just do a search on WP Tavern Industry Night Number 5 with David Kramer, or just visit the WP Tavern WordPress Weekly show notes. We'll have a link to that right there in the show notes. So that's going to do it for this week's headlines. But before we go, Marcus, you have two or three plugins. No, you're like the plugin guru, I call you. You do a show on the side. People should take a look, take a listen to it. It's called Plugins A to Z. Mm-hmm. And you do that with, who's the other guest?
John Overall.
Yeah, John Overall.
It's WPPluginsA2Z.com. And we're almost.
There's over 200. Yeah, almost 200 episodes.
Almost, yeah. I think we're at around 160 right now. I joined the show at number 44. And so I've been going with John for over 2 years now doing the show. But that's all we talk about is plugins.
With all the plugins, and you know, there's over like 26,000. I think you guys could have endless. By the time you get to 26,000 plugin, you know, the plugin repository will end up at like 35,000. You know, you can never run out of content on that show.
Yeah, I've had to change the intro twice because I say like over 30,000 plugins, over 20. So it was always, I've said at one time, with nearly 10,000 plugins or, you know, something like that. So we've had to change the intro a few times. But, yeah, I like doing that show. And so let's talk about some plugins. I think of myself actually as the first plugin critic, you know, like a movie. So one of these days, hopefully they'll use me on their launch as far as what I thought about it on their poster. Who knows?
Put your face on their page, like the testimonial page. Yeah, this guy's my plugin's awesome.
It doesn't suck. So the first one I found, these are just ones that two of these came out today. I just wanted to, you know, let everybody know I go through the repository every day. That's the first thing I do in the morning. One is Magic Liquidizer Responsive Table. And I've got a site that has a ton of HTML tables, but when you try and look at it on an iPad, it really looks crappy. So this one came out today. I've yet to try it, but I'll write it in my next review post and tell everybody what I thought about it. But it's basically turns all HTML tables into responsive tables, which is something that's kind of nice. And you can kind of scroll through the table if you want to and through the different rows and columns. So I really like that one. The next one is called Read and Understand. Now, this is something that is for perhaps internal users, and it has kind of a thing that pops up that says, hey, you need to go read this post, and you go to a particular post, and I believe it has you sign something or check a box and then hit enter, and it acknowledges that that particular user has read that particular post. Now, that post could be, okay, here's the rules of the site, here's, you know, the terms and conditions or something like that. The nice thing that I like about this is that it can export in a number of different formats, either a CSV or a number of SQL options, the date and times in which the particular users agreed or read the particular post. So that's great for like HR and things like that for big corporations.
Yeah, so if they get in trouble, you could say, you read that. I see you read that.
That's right.
Just like where I used to work, you had to do all these sign-offs. You had to sign your name on there saying, yeah, you read it, even if you didn't read it.
Yeah, exactly. So you designers out there that have some big projects with corporations, keep this little arrow in your quill. Maybe you might come up with some need of something like this down the road. And finally, this is a plugin that I talked about on the show that happens today, the WordPress Plugins A to Z show. It's called Plugin Organizer, and this is a relatively older plugin. However, this plugin recently has been updated to an amazing level. Essentially, what this Plugin Organizer lets you do is you can determine the order that plugins load on a per-page basis if you want to.
So nice.
If there are particular plugins that you don't want to load because maybe they don't play nice with some gallery plugin or something else that you have on one page, you can exclude certain plugins from loading on particular pages.
Wow, talk about getting nitty-gritty with page optimization, huh?
Yeah, this is a really granular level plugin. So if this is something that maybe you've got a need for, and you'd like to at least maybe change the loading order of your plugins, this will definitely help. So I've got links to all this. We'll put that in the show notes.
Wow. So I could have 25 plugins installed, but if you visit a certain page, I can turn 10 of them off, and who knows, maybe mm-hmm. the page loads quicker, huh?
Oh, it would definitely load quicker.
All right. Awesome. So we'll have links to all those plugins that Marcus mentioned in the show notes. And that's going to do it for this week's episode of WordPress Weekly. Next Friday, our special guest will be David Bissett of Dimension Media, and he is one of the main organizers for WordCamp Miami. So we'll have him on the show because we're going to talk about WordCamps next Friday and some of the issues, some of the social issues around the topic of WordCamps. So you won't want to miss that. I'm sure I'll say something stupid in that show. But that's why you won't want to miss it. But tune in next week, and we might have another special guest with us, another WordCamp organizer, to join us on the show next week, which would be great. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode on wptavern.com. In fact, over the break, I recently added a recent post widget. If you go to wptavern.com, click on the podcast link on the sidebar, there's a recent post widget that shows the 5 recent posts from the WordPress Weekly category. Right now, that's about the easiest way outside of searching or visiting the front page a day or two after this is published to find show notes for the episode. I'm still working on creating an easier way to find show notes for previous episodes, but right now, that's pretty much the quickest way to find them. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's J-E-F-F-R-0, and you can follow Sarah on Twitter at Polly Plummer, that's P-U-M-M-E-R. I saw mentions of people mentioning you on Twitter as Polly Plummer, like you fix pipes. You don't do pipes, do you?
No.
But that's P-O-L-L-Y-P-U. P-L. I don't understand what that is. P-L. U-M-M-E-R. There must be something that stinks around here. I keep saying P-U. But until next week, everybody have a safe and enjoyable weekend.